Testing.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God. Fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. There's a day that's drawing near, when this darkness breaks to light and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. Victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings.
senses, a fear and a pain. I haven't watched the tears fall plenty from heartache and strain. So if life's journey has you weary and afraid, there's rest in the shadow of his wings. I have walked through the valleys, the mountains and plains. I have held the hand of freedom that washes all my stains. If you feel the weight of many trials and burdens from this world, there's freedom in the shelter of the Lord.
I want But now I see 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my
White, welcome to the Watchman for Jesus program. Here we go again. We just talked a while ago, didn't we? Since we talked, if we have anybody new, I don't think we do tonight. My name's Thomas Gamble. If we do have somebody listening that's new tonight, I keep plugging. I don't have 1,000 people, 100 people, or 25, but I got a few. But, you know, I did start this Bible study middle of last year. I've lost track now. I don't keep track of all this time. I just keep going and look forward. I look forward. And simply for my own purposes. And it's only for me. I said, wait a minute. I realized one day I had I got a network I haven't used. I had all the equipment and I was using it for the micro effect. I said, wait a minute. If I'm going to start my own Bible study, then why don't I just practice using the network that I have on my own control? That's what started. So I just waited a couple days, advertised it, say, well, anybody wants to join me in Bible study for my own Bible study? Because I just felt a need to bone up on theology. Anyway, and so there you go. So I just invited people. So actually, if I have one person, two people, four, five, whatever, I start off just myself anyway. I've had up to 15 or 20 and down to 5, down to, it varies. Micro effect, I'll never know because they had satellites, so I'll never know the numbers there. But I guess it's not really the numbers, because it should be expected that numbers will be low in Bible study until something happens. Then all of a sudden, don't you notice that numbers increase? When fear increases, or when people lose hope, they can't do it themselves, when they finally realize that mankind's not as so powerful as they think they are, then they go to God. They don't go to God first. They go to God last. Well, everything's backwards. But that's why God loves us. He gave us the tribulations and trials to get us back on track. Yeah, it may not seem like it, right? Sometimes your parents that do the punishment part, doing it because they love you, you kind of think that at the time it's like, well, you're just punishing me because you want to, you know, but not really. I'm going to start off. We got a lot to talk about tonight, next hour and 20 minutes. When Jesus comes and the second coming, what's going to happen? Lord, thank you tonight for Bible study. When we come together, we thank you, Father, for your giving us the opportunity we can come together in Bible study. We thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for dying on the cross for our sins. And Lord, we thank you for the King James Bible to lead us in our studies and our inspiration. We pray for our brethren. We pray for our family members who are in need of healing, Lord, to override with your Holy Spirit the technology, the chemicals, the vaccines, all these things that's been caused by design, that Father, that you will use your Holy Spirit to override this agenda, these chemicals, the evil that Satan is doing through humankind that he uses. We pray, Father, to wake up the leaders of our country, that somehow, Father, they'll move away from the Luciferian agenda, and Lord, to actually have the courage to speak the true word of God. That Father, you'll send your Holy Spirit down and convict the synagogues and the cathedrals and the churches of those that's not preaching the true word, that Father, they'll finally step out, start preaching the true gospel. Father, forgive us of our sins and give us the courage, Lord, that we ask for it, to give us that gift that will lead us through it, that we seek it, Lord, and accept divine appointments, that Father, we can share the gospel. These things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. During the break from the last broadcast, I was going through some stuff, and I missed this. We got some people there today. I missed this January 14th. Just a side note. I may mention this again tomorrow, but I didn't know how fast this is increasing. January the 14th, that was yesterday. New Mexico doctors can give meds to help people die. Yesterday, government-sanctioned murder and suicide. Don't people understand what's going on? When I did the setting up my broadcast today, I was looking at euthanasia and what's going on with that. And I actually, during the broadcast itself, I had run across some things I hadn't seen before that shocked me, even this afternoon. I mean, that happens sometimes. And I said, wow. I didn't realize we're so involved and so close to having a federal mandated euthanasia law to allow people to kill themselves. Well, it's so if they get enough, this is the strategy of Satan. People don't understand this. People aren't connected. These are facts. These are facts. These are not speculation or opinions. All this is connected. Euthanasia being mandated by the country, by our laws. It's okay to kill yourself. And children, too. That's being done. I'm not giving hypothetical. This is happening. And in Europe, in Netherlands, and in Belgium, they got to start somewhere, and that's where they lead. When they make it mandatory to receive vaccinations in the schools, that's going to kill the children. I'm not being dramatic. I'm telling you what it's for. And when they allow homosexual marriage, and how many states is God going to allow? And taking down all this stuff. See, all this is orchestrated through the Luciferian conspirators, like a conference room. And they assign, you all take the Ten Commandments. You got it? All right. You all handle here the euthanasia law. Get it pushed. Sir, we got problems with this sender from, okay, form of task. And I'm telling you exactly what to do. John, you over here, you get five people together, and you're picking. What's his name? Well, the guy's name, okay, the congressman, all right. Find out all about him. That's what they do. This is not hypothetical. This goes back generations to, that's where prostitutes, that's what they were for by Adam Weishaupt, 1700s, was to sway, condemn, and set up people to get them to vote, come in, or whatever. That was the purpose of prostitution in the first place, all along. Y'all get the complications. I'm telling you here, the complexity of this Luciferian, everything's connected. It's unbelievable. If people would only, if they knew half, knew third of this. Anyway. Whoa, it's amazing. Quote, well, actually, this goes along with when Jesus comes. Well, it does. Quote, oh, looky here. Bingo. The lawsuit, filed a lawsuit. Doctors Catherine Morris, Arup, Mengelik, Netherlands, and patient Aja Riggs filed a lawsuit 2012 to allow somebody to die. The lawsuit, support of the American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU. How about that? Huh? Are they on the move or what? Of New Mexico. NAACP handles the racial issues nationwide. ACLU handles the religious issues nationwide. That's their assignment. Well, watch this. Quote, New Mexicans, both healthy and sick, now enjoy the comfort and peace of mind that comes from knowing they can prevent a prolonged, agonized, dying process at the end of life. Unquote. ACLU of New Mexico legal director Laura Schauer Ives said in a statement. We are close to his second coming. Wow. See, the first they get it for those terminal, everybody gets sympathy for that. And now they're going to move to the next stage. That's how they do it. Oh, they are, Satan is sneaky, 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 sneaky. Man, that's mind-boggling. It's amazing. With no punishment of sin, there's no reason to forgive. Why would Jesus have to forgive us if there's no punishment for sin? Forgive us for what? I commit sin, so what? You see the implications? It's all through the Bible about him forgiving us. Well, if there's no punishment, then why did he come down here in the first place? Why is he forgiven when there's no punishment? Well, that goes along with the New Age movement. Do as thou wilt. They're going to release all felons. When this New Age movement takes over, they're going to release all the felons. All of them. No exception. They will close the prisons down. That will happen. People aren't thinking about that. But without punishment, there would be unrestrained evil. So if they were sent in hell, for example, with no punishment, just sent away from heaven, but just go there. The people that's unsaved, evil would be so bad, it'd be worse than being punished individually. That's the reason he's got punishment for each there already, to restrain evil. I mean, that sounds, some people may have found that hard to understand, but he's coming back, and you see the signs already. This is what we're looking for, the signs of, and soon as it gets to a certain point, God's going to say, that's it, like Martin Luther King was talking about. Believers Association. We have association with God the Father, Christ the Son, the Spirit of God. We got association with all three of the Trinity. With Satan and the emissaries, we certainly have an association with him because we live in the world. I've talked about that for 4 years. With the angels in heaven and with the world itself. Christian, born again, is not of this world. We've been translated in the kingdom of Christ. He's a citizen of heaven already. His only relation is this world is an ambassador and witness. He's the enemy's land. We're in enemy territory. That's why you don't feel right sometimes. Satan is God of this world. Prince, but is not king. The kingdoms of the world are given to Satan under permission and purpose of God. Luke 4, verses 6. And you know that the Christians related to the world, all that's in the world. And this only is related through Christ. But this relationship is threefold, by the way. One, to the world system. I've talked about that in detail before. I'm going to talk about that again this week. Maybe tomorrow. We'll see. That would work out, actually. To human governments and the unsaved individual. That's three associations in the world. Now, the world system is this whole sphere of human life with its, you know, the seven areas we've talked about before that they control, the institutions, ideas, projects, whatever. And we're warned, love not the world, neither the things are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away. You know what that's saying right there? It's been saying what we've been talking about. It's called entropy. That's scientific. An atheist can't deny that. So if everything is entropy, it means it dies, rusts, rots, is destroyed. How is evolution even possible? You have generations of families wiped out because they die. You have cars that turn from one car to another. Oh, there you go. There's your reincarnation. You take one car that's old, melt it down, and turns into parts of a newer car. There it is. There's reincarnation. Reincarnation is true. A reincarnation. Just melt down one, turn into another. Humans? No. Cars? Yeah. Everything passes away. So their answer to that is mutation. Uh-huh. Well, let's talk about mutation. Let's make a mutated cornbread. Don't put no salt in it. See how mutated that is. Let's mutate it with no flour. Oh, you're going to love that cornbread. Take the sodium out. That's mutation. What happens if we take something out? It don't work. So mutations is removing something that should be there. Means it don't work. Yeah, you see? So that cancel that out. God's Holy Spirit gives everything a kickstart. God is always creating. He's always here. He's always looking forward, keeping everything together and working. We're together. We're glued together as flesh and whatever else because Holy Spirit keeps everything together. God could dissolve this all with a click of his finger and start all over the new Adam and Eve. He could do. I don't understand how that works, but I'm not going to worry about it. It's over my bandwidth anyway. So this world passes away. It tells you in the Bible, there's entropy. And the lust thereof that doeth the will of God abideth forever. 1 John 2, 15 to 17. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Don't say nothing about judgment. Judgment of moral good and bad, we can't do. But we can reprove and correct. So they try to trick you with that. They say, oh, you're not supposed to judge. They'll hit you with the same Bible they don't even believe in. They'll go around and use it. How about that? You're reproving. You're not judging. Ephesians 5:11. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace. Oh, I'm not always so good at that. Season with salt. Yeah. That we may know how you ought to answer every man. Salt was a big thing back then. And for the supernatural and Wicca, witchcraft, they use salt for something else. That's why they got Utah. Mm-hmm. Colossians 4, verse 5 to 6. Salt was a big thing back in those days, though. He's worth his salt. You ever heard that before? The world system. Now, when you go to the Bible, human governments are under the direct authority of the Gentiles. The present of the times of the Gentiles is Luke 21:24. Hebrew Jews don't like this much, or Jews don't like it. They won't go back to Hebrew roots. Yeshua, Yahshua, all that stuff. Human government is of God only to the extent that permissive will allows and the realization of his purposes. The citizen of heaven is instructed to be in subjection to the governments. Except when they cause you to sin against God. It's real simple, Romans 13. But your pseudo-Christians like Chuck Baldwin, General Boykin, Rick Joyner, the others that's preaching rebellion, it's not of God at all. It would be nice, you'd say, if like Joshua, and they replaced the government, bad one with a good one. But this is not the case at all. You got a bad government replacing a bad government with a bad government. They're both bad governments. They're both, you see, so this is, it's, what do you call it, non-pox or whatever? It's a cancellation. Only reason they use it is to justify martial law. People don't know that. They'll fall for it again. They did three times. They'll do it again. 1776, 1859, almost 1932. Didn't happen, though. But they'll do it this time. Family, the return of Jesus Christ is the only answer. And you know why man's so afraid of that? Because they're afraid of being judged. You ever did something bad to... In the morning, and your dad, this is proverbial, okay, wasn't there, and or something, and the dad's gone. That's better. Okay, dad's gone. This is a proverbial family, you know what I mean? And the mama says, boy, you wait till your daddy gets home. Or your babysitter in today's date would say, you wait till your mama gets home from work. You're like dreading the whole day. your dread all day long. You can't study, you can't read, you can't think because you know when you get home. Oh, no. No. Then you hear that car drive up. Oh, man, it really hits you. Oh, no. You see? And then mama gives that look, that eyebrow. Your dad's home. And she has that smirk on her face. You're like, oh, the dread that you have in the proverbial home. I think that's the same thing, because they're afraid when he comes, they're going to be judged harshly. When you have a clear conscience, you've repented of your sins, what are you worried about? What's the worry? There's no worry. It's like, gosh, hurry up. You ever said that to your dad, or you ever thought that to your mom? Your mom says, you wait, your dad gets home. You think, oh, I hope he hurries home. No, you don't either. No, you know it's coming. But what are you doing? You're hoping he comes quickly. I talked to someone today when I went to an appointment. I kind of do that when I go by somebody. I just feel like I got to say something. And we're talking and this, that, and the other. And I made the comment. I said, well, you know, I don't even pray for the nation. Her eyeballs went, huh? And I saw her react. I said, no, I pray for return of Jesus Christ. Oh, okay. You see? Now, if he wants to bring the nation back and do all whatever, that's fine. 2 Chronicles 7:14. But I pray for him to come back to stop everything that's going on. The country's not going to do it, and mankind are the ones promulgating it and causing it to all happen. So, is this a trick question? No. That's the reality. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What are people hoping that God doesn't remember this? John 3:3. You know what they're trying to do now? They're trying to support Jerusalem, Israel, and say there's no such thing as Zionism. God's going to allow the Antichrist, when he comes, or before he comes, he's going to allow the Antichrist to take out Israel. It's called the abomination of desolation. And the second seal, people forget about the second seal or something. I don't know what they're thinking. They're forgetting that God's going to allow the daughter of Babylon. God's going to allow the Antichrist to take them out. He's going to bring Israel to their knees. That's in the Bible. But there's so much going on with trying to discredit the Bible right now. They're saying, well, the Bible's not correct, that Jesus was actually crucified on a stake. That's the next thing they're working on. And once they get you thinking that, then you got to see the Bible's an error. I said, really? No problem. I've got maybe, I can't even count them now. I don't have time. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's 6, 10, 18, 25. Around 25 or 30 verses, it talks about him being on the cross. You know, that pretty much settles that one. How come people don't do that? All you got to do is search it. It's real simple. Matthew 27:40. And saying, thou that destroys the temple and buildest in 3 days, save thyself if thou be the Son of God. Come down from the cross. No tree, no stake. They're getting mixed with tree and stake. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. When they use the tree, nailed to a tree, is hyperbole in the Bible. It's only like 2 or 3 verses or so, I believe. They don't talk about a stake in the Bible at all. If you put tree in the search, when you do your research, to search the research, I'm in a mood tonight, I guess. You get quite a few numbers on the tree in it, but only a few where he's nailed to a tree. I'll have to look that one up. There's only a handful of them where it says that where he's nailed to a tree. You know what they're trying to say now, too? Oh, this is significant. If some of your Calvinists and others are trying to say that in the Bible, anytime you read the word tree, it's not talking about a tree. It's talking about a person. Yeah, trees are people. And you know why they're doing that? Here's the sneaky part. Because they're trying to get people to believe the Calvinists and Preterists and Christian Identity and Hebrew Roots Movement and all these others, that Satan had sex with Eve. That's the sneaky part. That's what they're trying to get people to believe. Genesis 4, verse 1. That Cain's father was Satan. And there's other tricks they're trying to pull, but once they get you to believe that people are trees, so when Eve took the apple from the tree, or took the fruit, doesn't say apple either, there's assumption there, takes the fruit from the tree, everybody assumes it's an apple, or whatever it is, pomegranate, who knows what. Anyway, she takes it, they're saying that when she took the fruit, that meant in code that she had sex with the tree, which was Lucifer. I don't know where these people get this stuff sometimes, but that's the big, oh, it's serious. Arnold Murray, Herbert Armstrong, the Hebrew Roots Movement that's saying that Cain was, I know what it is, that Cain was the son of Satan and Cain was black or Cain was a minority, and then they lived through the flood. It's so convoluted, this Christian Identity nonsense is just unbelievable. Satan is working hard, man, and people are buying off on it. Massively. It's all about, all I can do is discredit one thing in the Bible, get somebody to believe it, then I can start unraveling everything else. And that's why it's important that when people start doing this in front of you, that you just don't gaff it off, that you say, okay, prove it, show me. What scripture is it? The King James Bible is not the true word of God. Really? Okay, which one do you use? They will not answer you. They will get mad at you. They will zigzag whatever because they know when they give you an answer, you got them because you can destroy every Bible. I mean, destroy it completely. The King James stands on its own as the true word of God. And that's what they know. And that's why they don't want to answer. Which Bible do you use? Well, you know, they're dancing around it like dancing with the stars, man, like a Mexican hat dance or whatever. They can't answer you. They got to go right quick or start insulting or get all puffy or whatever. Hey, you got them. You say, well, is it important to get them? Yeah. Because what you've done is you've caused their subconscious, and you've called their soul to be convicted. Whether you get an answer or not, doesn't matter. The fact is, and if you ask somebody, that has an NIV or NASB, and you know that the verse is missing, right? And you say, well, can you tell me what this verse means in your Bible? I'm just curious about it. Then they'll go looking for it, okay? And when they look for it and they can't find it, don't say, well, aha. They say, oh, you can't, you know, it's not there, is it? Oh. Okay, well, I got my Bible. Let me see if I got it right here. You see what you've done? You've caused them to say, oh, wait a minute. My Bible doesn't have that verse in it. So their subconscious, their conviction begins. Don't make a big deal out of it. Just say, oh, but you've already done what you was there to do. Because I'll stick with them. Let the Holy Spirit work. When Jesus comes, oh, by the way, our Bible studies are being played up at highpointradio.net. highpointradio.net. And John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, and his email is highpointradio@yahoo.com. We're also played simulcast, they call it, at the same time on occasion, I don't know how often, but anyway, with Blue Raven Network at KBLU Radio. He plays it, I'm told. And let y'all know that. My website, watchmanforjesus.com. You can go there. I'm working on it. Just be patient with me on that. I have downloaded, or uploaded, whatever you want to call it, my broadcast and Bible studies on the archives. But you have to go there first, not like before, but go there and click and just listen at the website until I can figure out how to make them MP3 so you can download it or send it to you by email. When Jesus comes, will he ever come to this earth again? The answer is yes, he will. John 14, verse 2 to 3, confirms this. It tells us he's going to come back. It says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. When they say the last trump, family, they're not talking about the seventh trumpet of the tribulation. They're talking about the trump of the rapture, either before the tribulation or middle or both. Because one thing for certain is you're not appointed to wrath. That's a given. And that's the last 3.5 years of tribulation period. So what it does, it doesn't say, is that, you know, you could argue it's a rapture then, mid-tribulation, before the wrath of God. Or is there a rapture before the tribulation to start the whole ball rolling, you might say. Or there are two of them, one for the elect that goes first, and then the ones that go through the tribulation period, another rapture of sort. It doesn't really say, because God don't want you to know. So number two truth is, no one knows the day or the hour. That should be a real clue and solve a whole lot of debate in the last hours and hours, that nobody knows the hour. So why debate it? You see. You're not appointed to wrath. So whether he puts you in a protective bubble and things happen around you and you're just protected, I don't know. Whether he moves you supernaturally, which he could do, to a certain location on the earth that can't be touched, or whether the rapture occurs. It doesn't say. So why worry about it? Worry about taking him as your Savior. That I'd worry about, and I wouldn't worry about that either, by the way, because when you take him as your Savior, you ain't got to worry. Did y'all write that down? No matter what they do, what's going to happen when Jesus comes again? Well, what happened when he was here the first time? We go back to that. He did a lot of wonderful things on earth. The main thing he did was he died for us. They expected him to come in a white horse and begin then, but he didn't because they rejected him. But he had to die first and be resurrected. He's crucified, you know, who knows, about 9, 10, 11 in the morning sometime. Died about 3, give or take, in the afternoon. So some say. Joseph Arimathean asked for his body of Christ, Jesus, and he said he and a friend named Nicodemus prepared the body of Jesus for burial. They wrapped his body in linen clothes with spices and placed Jesus' body in a new tomb carved in the side of a hill. So then brings to the mind the Shroud of Turin, that fraud. It's not Jesus of Nazareth, because in the Bible it says that he had a napkin placed over his face, didn't it? Said he folded the napkin too, didn't it, in the Bible, right? That means he's coming back. Do y'all know how that worked? In the days, those days, the master of the house, the master, the owner, the controller, the master of the house and servants, okay, that kind of relationship. When he's done with the meal, he's not coming back. He'd just take his napkin and just throw it down on the plate. Just, there you go. I'm done. But when the master was stopped eating, was going to leave the table and come back to the table, for whatever reason, he had nicely and neatly folded the napkin. That was a signal to the servant that the master is leaving, but he's coming back. So don't move the plate or I'll cut your hands off. No. So when they came to his burial site, the napkin over his face, the handkerchief or napkin over his face was folded. So this shroud of Turin is a fraud. He wasn't wrapped up totally in clothing. People, how come people don't talk about this? I'm not a theologian, but man, you can figure this out. Read the Bible. Put a large stone that rolled across the entrance. And Jesus was dead. Because 3-4 days is the time that takes the body to start rigor mortis. You understand? When they're graveyard dead, rigor mortis sets in. It's like 3-4 days. So nobody could say, oh, he was just passed out. There's a reason for that. You know the story about him coming to the tomb and all that. I'm not going to go into all that setup of when they found him and then he appeared in their midst and Jesus was alive when he came back. Witnesses, oh man, had 500 witnesses, saw him leave the earth in front of 500 people at one time. See, God, he knew already. He knew that he's coming back. He had witnesses that's documented, even outside the biblical sources. So sometime later, the first time the disciples were together, Jesus appeared there, of course. They didn't believe Mary at first. And she convinced them. Thomas still didn't. Thomas, yeah, buddy. These Thomases, I don't know, man. They're stubborn people. He still didn't believe. He said, I don't believe none of you. I don't believe none of you. Now, Thomas was one of the stout ones that when Jesus said he was going to Bethany or somewhere, they'd been ran out of there or something like that. And the disciples said, oh, no, we can't go there. We're not going back there. And Thomas said, I'll go back with you. We'll kick their butt. Well, that very Thomas never believed that Jesus Christ was coming back from the dead. 8 days later, the disciples were in the same room again, second time. This time, Thomas was with them the second time, and Jesus already knew. Jesus said, had no doubt, and said, my Lord, my God. He called him his God, too. Hint, hint. Lord Jesus said, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. He appeared on earth again for 40 days. He made sure it's written about. One time he appeared to over 500 believers at one time. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. He says to them, you'll do more than I. You know what people do with that? They try to take off with that. Or would do more than Jesus did. Yeah. Really, Jesus is the creator of heaven and earth. God incarnated human flesh. You going to do more than that? He means you do more in numbers. But they like to do it the other way. You know, they like to say we're going to be more powerful than Jesus was. Oh. You know the story there. They saw him go back in heaven, and there you go. I'm not going to go into all the detail, but that. But tonight, the Lord Jesus is preparing a beautiful mansion in heaven we're going to talk about. And one day, he's coming back to take those that are born again with him. That's where John 14, verse 2 and 3 go together. The Lord Jesus is coming again. And you'll know him because he'll say, I will come again. For those of us who've received him as our Savior, his coming will be a time of great joy. Because you know he's coming to take you. He won't come on earth. He'll lift you out. Like did Enoch. Elijah. First Thessalonians, I always have a hard time saying that. First Thessalonians 4, 16 says that for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead in Christ are the bodies that's been left in the dust. The souls were in heaven all the time. The bodies will be raised up. Cremated or not, don't matter. God controls the particles and vibrations and frequencies and atoms and molecules and quarks and photons, protons, whatever protons they are. He controls it all. He's the glue that keeps everything together. Then we which are alive, Enoch, and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so will be ever be with the Lord. Now, that's, to me, pretty clear. You don't know the day of the hour, but there's a rapture of some sort. A piezo raptere, which is Latin for rapture, Latin for gathering together, excuse me. Gathering together, piezo, and Latin for a piezo is raptere. You know, it's clear. I don't know what else to say. It tells you, 1 Thessalonians 4:18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. That pretty much seals it. When he comes again, all the children of God will be taken up to him and meet in the clouds. The dead in Christ, that is the true believers, will who've died, the wheat, before he comes again, and which we are alive and remain, believers who are still living on earth when he comes again. Those in the Old Testament were brought up in the 3 days that he was dead. He went to paradise and took them up then when he preached to them. Remember, their salvation was in the sacrifice of animals. And here comes the real Savior and his death, his descension, to prevail over hell and preach to the Old Testament saints to bring them up. Thereby they're not down there anymore, in other words. What about those that's never taken Christ as their Savior? They'll be left behind. I'm using Scripture. I mean, it tells you, right? It tells you that Scripture has read you. There'll be a time of great trouble on the earth for them. For then shall be great tribulation, great trouble, such as not seen since the beginning of the world. Now, for those that's preterists and Calvinists that say that we're already through the tribulation, how do they reconcile the Bible if they actually use it? I don't understand how they do that. I know they say 70 AD was the time of Jesus coming, and I say Chernobyl was wormwood, and they scattered over a period of hundreds and hundreds of years, so the tribulation is all finished. They got like a checklist or something. They start citing certain events and say, so I guess we all just got through the tribulation by the skin of our teeth, right? Well, we're over. We're done. Hooray. Don't worry about it anymore, right? I don't think so. Even this one, what's his name? The false prophet. Bagley, whatever this guy is. Anyway, is 900 pound, which I don't believe in the first place, but he reported, like Jones, all these guys. But Bagley said there's a 900 pound, look it up right now, a 900 pound hailstone fell in Croatia. Well, there you go. There's a seventh trumpet. 100 pound hailstones. Well, this is 900 pound. And one of them. So I guess that's God's, wow, God, you only sent one hailstone? Oh, okay. That's, yeah. You see what the deception and how deep this goes? how they're grasping for straws to try to explain away. We're a terrible time on the earth that we've never seen. This world's never seen before. That's not come yet. After all these events do happen, though, Jesus Christ will return to earth with his believers. Really? So that kind of knocks out post-tribulation, don't it? All those who've been with him in heaven will return with him to reign with him. When's his coming? Does anybody know? No. Matthew 24:36. But that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. That's pretty clear. So why are people so much arguing, debating, and declaring, I know when it's going to be? Really, do you now? Do tell. Well, no, they don't. And those that claim to, I used to be a pre-tribber, but now I'm a post-tribber. Well, you know, I used to believe in post-tribbing, but now I'm a pre-tribber. They just switch back and forth like they change houses. Well, stop it and ask them and say, well, okay, is it post-trib? Yes, I have 10 scriptures here that tells you post-trib. Okay. Well, I have a question for you. When's the tribulation beginning? When's that going to start? And they're going to blink their eyes a little bit. And they're going to look at you kind of funny. And their mind's going to start going bzz, 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 like a computer that's stuck on a broken down CD. That kind of bzz, bzz, bzz going on in the head. Because they can't tell you when the tribulation is. Okay. Now, if you can't tell me when tribulation is, how can you take a position? Why? You got it? He could come at any time. That's rapture. Since that's true, we should be ready to meet him at any time. How can he be ready? One, loving him. Two, by obeying him. Three, by serving him as servants. And four, looking for his return. And like I was saying, when you know you've done bad at home and your mother says, in the proverbial family, you wait till your daddy gets home. Or in a home today, you know, the babysitter says, you wait till your mama and daddy gets home. Oh, ouch. Or the teacher says, I'm going to call your daddy. Oh, no. The same thing when you know you're a sinner. And you know he's coming back. You want to do everything you can to delay it. But 1 John 2:28 kind of throws a little bit of a wrinkle in that thought process. 1 John 2:28, it tells you, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. That's word for word. I don't have to be a theologian to read that. I just have to be able to read English. Or from Japanese, read it, King James Bible in Japanese, but I'm going to read the same thing. So I'm not worried about his coming. Kind of wish he'd hurry up. But those that are not sure of their salvation, they're not going to want to hear that. Even so, come Lord Jesus. So when people pray for return of the Republic, return for America like we used to be, I'm like, do you have any idea what you're saying? Like it used to be. You mean go back to slavery? You mean go back to wars? Used to be what? Let's talk reality here. They're going back to the facade that we've been given for, I've been talking about for 4 years, I guess. That's a reality. So what happens when a born-again Christian dies? Well, the Bible tells us that the body is the house in which the soul lives. The New Agers call it the vehicle. A vehicle. They got this in their textbook, that the Christ, they call it, or the enlightened ones will take a vehicle. That means they're going to take a body. That's called possession in reality. But the soul is a speck of light. The soul is your, is not just some philosophical notion. It is your character, your personality. It's what makes this body go. It's kind of like the battery, if you will, or something that connects everything. It's the energy connected. You can understand this because we live in a house. A speck of light, your soul, and the pineal gland, or whatever you want to get that point. The house is not us. It's just a place where you live. You're inviting the Holy Spirit to be your roommate. You become possessed, you've got a different roommate. A bad acting roommate. Or several. Or a fraternity house in your head. It's called a legion of demons. So what happens when a born-again Christian dies? Well, his soul moves out of the house. It vacates it. When it does, it dies. It starts setting in rigor mortis in 3 days. You got it? It can't live forever because God wouldn't allow it. You know why? Because he knew that demons would want to take that body and live forever. It's called possession. So God put a limited time on the body. You ever heard that before? The Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Boy, that's a spin on it, isn't it? Of today's thinking. Why do you say it's gain to die? See, the cult believed this. Anton LaVey didn't see that way when he was dying. He said, this is not right. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. He was screaming on his deathbed. Because God gave him a glimpse of hell right before he went to it. God wanted people to hear. And they did. It's horrifying. Because the occult believes they're going to a better place when they die. That's a lie they're being told. To die is to go be with Christ. And this is far better than being here. That's radical to say, isn't it? But you are going to die eventually anyway. But don't mean you commit suicide or assisted death or all this. I talked about that today in broadcast. It's up to God. We fulfill his will. His will be done. So when you die, the soul goes with Christ. The body goes to sleep in Jesus. That's asleep. When a Christian loved one dies, we're not happy about it, I guess, but because we miss them, right? It's natural. But you got to remember that they're with Jesus. If they're born again, if they're not, well, that's not for me to say. I've heard people say, well, my uncle committed suicide, but, you know, at least he's with heaven, with God. I'm like, I kept my mouth shut, but I'm like, not my place to say anything at that point. I just sit there and blink my eyes a little bit and, what if everybody believed that when you die, you're going to heaven no matter what? Wouldn't they kind of want to have a little euthanasia? Huh? A little assisted suicide? What if assisted suicide, they end up going to hell for self-murder because they had no faith, didn't pray for healing, didn't pray for something, or maybe there's suffering was supposed to be a reason for it. I don't know. That's God's business, not mine. But assisted suicide certainly is not part of it. But if you say it's okay and you're going to go to heaven with suicide, can you imagine? You think that maybe has something to do with him in the health care bill that something has to do with changing theology, that has to do with causing people to have maladies, euthanasia being authorized. Do you all see the implication of where I'm headed with this? This is what they're setting up, I'm afraid. For a born-again Christian, the Bible calls death simply falling asleep in Christ, in Jesus. In John 11:25, Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So when Jesus comes again, he's going to raise the bodies of those who belong to him. Coming back again, not necessarily be confused with the second coming and the rapture, the same thing. It's not, just two different events. But he'll be giving to those born-again believers new resurrected bodies that can never die. This is what the New Age and the Freemasons are being told is the next evolution of mankind. It's what the fallen angels are coming down here for, aliases, ascended masters and aliens, is to help mankind now get to the next level of evolution. That's what it's all about. It's not that at all. It's about being possessed by a demon where they lost their bodies in the flood. Now you notice they're trying to dig up old graves and pharaohs? Uh-huh. They're cloning them. So the demons that inhabited the clones, excuse me, the pharaohs and royalty of yesteryear, they can clone that body. You understand this? Clone that body from the mummies, yeah? They've already done it in 1984. It's already been done. They cloned a mummy in 1984. A pharaoh. Oh, yes, they did. Genghis Khan, Attila the Hun, are in the same bloodline as Queen Elizabeth II. Oh, yeah. King John and Charles Maine, they're all in the same bloodline, going back to the pharaohs of Egypt. Do y'all see the bigger picture here going on? How many people's connected those dots? Oh, my. All they need is that blood tissue, and they'll clone the same body. Hitler, again. Incarnation, not reincarnation. Y'all see where I'm headed with this? That's the big picture right there. That's why they're digging up these pharaohs. That's why they had almost perfect conditions for embalming so they could have tissue when mankind had finally reached the scientific level that Satan wanted them to be to do just this. You know, they can now... Well, this is sick. I mean, I've read some stuff today that in the news today. I'm not going over that now, but whether they've transplanted about 9 wombs over in Europe. Yeah. That's sick or what? When Jesus comes again, he'll raise the bodies of those who belong to him. He'll give them a new resurrected body that can never die. Bible says 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1. You can't go wrong with scripture, you know. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. And house was made with hands eternal in the heavens. Let's go with what the Calvinists and the others say. Okay. For we know that if our earthly tree of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and a tree not made with hands eternally. See how ridiculous that sounds? What are these people thinking? Anyway, the house is a body in this context. Trees are never people. What will we be like then? 1 John 3 verse 2 tells you. When he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So Jesus Christ, our coming King, tells us again, John 14, 2 and 3, to prepare a place for us, he'll come again. When he ascended into heaven after his resurrection, two angels appeared, not two orbs, and not two angels in UFOs, in flying machines, or whatever they want to. No, they don't need them. Quell needs to learn this. Steve Quell needs to find out, needs to understand that the angels of God do not have flying saucers, for goodness sakes alive. God's angels don't need them. When he ascended, two angels appeared to the disciples and said to them in Acts 1, verse 11. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you in heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. He's coming again, and he'll come again in the same manner which he ascended. He won't be in UFO neither. He won't beam him down. When he comes, what's going to happen to believers? Unbelievers. Well, a little more detail. When he comes again, there's going to be a great separation. That's the wheat and tares. They've got to tell you that the tares are really the hybrids. Everybody else human is going up. No. The wheat and tares, very simply, are those that accept Jesus and those that don't. The wheat is those that accept, the tares are ones that don't. And that's kind of, look at it like they're being torn away. There'll be a great separation then. Believers will go to be with the Lord Jesus, and the unbelievers will be left behind. He talks about it in Luke 17, verse 35 and 36. In Luke 17, 35 and 36, two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Now, they have reversed it. And those in the tribe of Dan, they've reversed this too. Yeah. They're saying the wicked will be removed first. I've been told this before. From a member of the tribe of Dan, we'll say. I said, what? Yeah, the evil will be removed first. I said, well, then what about tribulations? He's going to shorten it. I said, yeah, he's going to shorten it. Won't be 8 years, it'll be seven. No, it's going to be shorter than that. I said, where did you get that? Well, the Bible tells you. I said, no, I don't. I mean, they got it backwards. Well, it just so happens that the New Age say they're going to remove the wicked. And guess who the wicked is? Those that follow Jesus Christ. And be put on, I'm not joking here. I'm serious, dead serious. This is their criteria. That's their evil, is those that follow this Jesus, fundamentalist Christians, they call them. And they'll be placed on a backward evolutionized planet. Well, I hope they find our planet soon, because the planets they find now, there's no twin Earth. They still can't find one. Somebody's not talking to somebody here. You see what I mean? Man, they so messed up. They bad messed up. So those that believe in God, believe in Jesus Christ, will be put on a planet where dinosaurs to start all over again. That's what they're told. Some Thomas lady who claims to be 98 million years old. I kid you not. I heard her say it on the radio on her program. She said she's 98 million years old. I said, wow. She needs to sell that cosmetic stuff fast. I'm not joking. That's what she said exactly. Family, focus on the good. Focus on the return of Jesus. There's evil going to come in this world. You've got articles out now where families are cutting up their own children. You understand where I'm going with this? Cannibalism is picking up steam. We see the evil coming. People need to start preaching about how they're going to leave here. Did you see it increasing? Jesus Christ will come suddenly. When he comes to take his believers to be with him, it's like a thief in the night. I read you already, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 to 17, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That trump is not the last trumpet of the seven trumpets of judgment. It's a different one. Believers will go to be with the Lord Jesus in heaven. There the believers will be judged for what they've done after they were saved. That's where the rewards in heaven come from. This is called the judgment seat of Christ. And for believers only. They're not teaching this to the Freemasons. They're not teaching this to others. Some believers will receive great rewards. There's five of them exactly. Because they're faithful in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Other believers will be ashamed before, because they did not live for the Lord, but they made it by fire. In other words, by the skin of their teeth, because they accept Jesus Christ, but they didn't do what they're supposed to do in works after they were saved. Then there's the marriage supper of the Lamb. After the judgment of the believers, then comes celebration. Can you imagine another dimension, what's going to happen? And you know, when you're eternal, you don't have to eat for substance. You eat for pleasure. You eat for whatever reason. I can't imagine this in my head, but it's what it says. There's no way for us to really describe how beautiful, wonderful this event's going to be. There's no way. It's impossible. As the bride of Christ, this is serious. This is from the scriptures. There's no other truth around. There's none. There's no replacement. There's no... Name me one. Please, go ahead. Name one replacement for the truth. Well, it's not science books. They're all theory. It's not the book of Urantia. So put together by, it says, two visitors from Jupiter or something, but knocks that out. There's no Bible today other than King James that's telling the truth. They're all come from one source. That's origin of Greek philosopher. That's certainly not true. It's definitely not the Catholic Church. All the murder they've committed. Not the Protestant churches, because they're so scattered, divided. So where's the true word of God? He just leave us down here on our own devices? And really, when you start doing a series of thinking like that, you realize how real this is. What's going to happen to unbelievers? The unbelievers are in heaven. While the believers are in heaven, the believers are in heaven. Unbelievers will go through a time of great trouble. That's called the tribulations. And be on earth too. Evil, wickedness will be abound because God's church will be removed. There'll be wars, famines, earthquakes, pestilence. You see, they're trying to use HAARP and other means to cause that to happen now, to try to fake you out and make you think you're already past the tribulation so you don't have to worry about it. And the Sanan Emmanuel will be the Jesus to come. Now you see their plan? He will actually be the false prophet. The Maitreya will be the Antichrist. But first you got to have a fake one or something ahead of time. The great delusion, even fool even the very elect, if it were possible. They create famines. They create earthquakes. They create pestilence. I don't have to explain to you all this one. It'd be worldwide. It'll be in America. It'll be everywhere. One third of the inhabitants of the earth will be killed. Say there's 9 billion people. One third is what? 3 billion to 3 to 4 billion people will die in the second seal. That's a real World War III. It's called the Great Tribulation. After that's the Great Tribulation. That's the last 3.5 years. But before that, a third of the inhabitants will die in the second seal. During this time of the first 3.5 years, the Antichrist will come to power. He'll perform great miracles, and his power will not come from God. Power will come from Satan. Supernatural and technology mixed together. And these miracle powers he's got, he's going to change everything. Now, before you accept it, you got to know there's a problem. Overpopulation, environmental pollution, nuclear energy, all that's got to go. You see? So they got to let you know that there's a problem. Drown the chemtrails, the planes, all that stuff. And to make it go away, he becomes a hero. So they got to tell you about this stuff so he'll be a hero. You see, that's how it works. He'll demand later that all men worship him, receive his mark. Those who refuse receive the mark will be killed. Those who do accept the mark, worship him, will spend all eternity with him in the lake of fire. And at God's appointed time, then Jesus Christ will return to the earth with his believers. Mighty angels will come in great power and glory. They'll destroy the Antichrist, the false prophet, Babylon, and the Armageddon. And the 200 million is not China or Russia. This is transhumanized supernatural army in the seventh trumpet. Says so in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7, and 8. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Don't say about working your way out of hell. Doesn't say anything about annihilation. And Jesus Christ will reign as king over all the earth. Thou hast made us into our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. Revelation 5 verse 10. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Revelation 20 verse 4. That's clear. Revelation 20 verse 4. 1,000 years. There's a millennium. During the 1,000 year reign of Christ, Satan will be bound in chains. Where's the Antichrist, the false prophet? They're in the lake of fire. They're getting it warmed up for him. And God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, will rule the world in righteousness. Zechariah 14, verse 9. The Lord shall be king over all the earth. Psalms 9, verse 8. And he shall judge the world in righteousness. You have sinners then, but Satan will not be around to tempt the nations until after the 1,000 years. There'll be no wars, no hunger, no disease. All men will live together in peace and harmony. Even the animals will be changed so that the fierce ones will not attack the weaker ones. All children will be taught about the Lord. Everyone, from the greatest to the least, will know that Jesus Christ is king over all the earth. Isaiah 11, verse 9. The earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So, after this 1,000-year reign, Satan will be set free. because the nations at that point have never been tempted by Satan. They'll be allowed then to be tested themselves. He'll go out again to deceive many people. They'll have their choice. And once again, Satan and his followers will rebel against God and his Son. And family, that is called Gog and Magog. After the 1,000 years. So those preachers, Hagee and all the rest of them, say it's this Gog and Magog coming up. Well, they just missed 1,000 years. It hadn't happened yet. This time fire will come down from heaven to destroy them, and Satan will be cast in the lake of fire. And this is not nuclear. It's a final destination, and never again will Satan be able to cause trouble. Revelation 20, verse 10. Do you understand that after 7 years of tribulation, family, you're not going to have a computer or an IG phone. You're not going to have a 4G or a 10G. Man, you're not going to have a phone. You'll have supernatural leaders throughout the world. You'll live back in the primitive days of which is meant to be all along. There will be no technology. People's not thinking about this. God's going to wipe out all technology. There will be none after the tribulation is over. It'll all be supernatural. During the 1,000-year reign, you're not going to have technology. The 7 years tribulation and Armageddon will wipe that out. Matter of fact, technology will be wiped out in the sixth seal. First 3.5 years. You take the mark of the beast. Well, you don't take the mark of the beast. Everybody's worried about this thing. All you got to do is not take it. You may die for it. But again, go back to what I said a little while ago. But their system's not going to work. They ain't going to no Agenda 21. They're not going to. That's why I don't worry about all this stuff. That's what they're planning, 50 years. They got a planning process doctored up, logged in. The year 2025 is full externalization of the fallen angels. Year 2025, very significant. And the full completion of this is by the year 2050, as if they can plan it. Anyway, well, they got a big surprise coming. The unbelievers will be judged. Satan is cast in the lake of fire. The wicked dead will be judged. And the judgment of the wicked dead is called the judgment of the great white throne. And that's only for unbelievers. The bodies of the unbelievers will be raised up, and all of them, small and great, will stand before God. And that's in Revelation 20, verse 11 and 12. Tells you right off. Revelation 20, 11 and 12. It's pretty clear. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is a book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now that's after. And so their works puts them in different degrees of hell. But it's a little late. The best place in hell is the worst place you want to be, because you'll be completely separated from God. And you saw what Jesus went through when God turned his back on him. He separated from God for such a short time. You saw what he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed, sweat, blood came off because he knew he'd be separated from his Father for a short time. He couldn't stand just that much. Family, you have no idea. People have no clue. When God separates us, the fires of hell is bad enough. But being separated from God, you can't imagine what that's going to be like. You're protected right now. The war around you, you can't see, or you'd have a heart attack. It's invisible. That's why it's invisible. so much stuff. You know, be the judge. Be Jesus Christ himself will be the judge right by the throne. Their whole life will be flashed before them. The Bible says that the Father was committed all judgments unto the Son. Those who rejected Christ as their Savior must now meet him as their judge. Right now, today, while you're living, he's your intercessor. When he comes back, there's no pleading at the great white throne. There's just deciding there, which is part of hell, you're going to go. Going to hell is already a done deal. You say, well, I did a lot of good work, so I'll get a good place. You have no idea what separation from God is going to be like. You have no clue, those that say that. The record books will be opened. Each one will be judged according to their own deeds, and some unbelievers will receive greater punishment than others. Luke 12:48-48 tells you. But all will be lost forever. Revelation 20:15. Whosoever not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Now, these here preachers around here, pastors and rabbis, and they keep forgetting about Revelation 22:18-19, about messing with the Bibles and teaching, Bible study, teaching with Bibles that do not have all the scriptures. Those are Bibles clearly from Satan. They say, well, this Bible, my NIV, my grandmother gave to me, and it's got some of the same words, not all of them, but most of them. Really. Take a pot of coffee. Just share it. Before you drink, let me pour a thimble of kerosene in it just to spice it up a little bit. That spoils the whole pot. Do the math on that. See, God's going to create a new heaven, a new earth. After this, and after the judgment of the great white throne, the earth will be destroyed by fire. Water first, fire second. God will create a new heaven, a new earth. No more sin. Believers will be the Lord Jesus in heaven forever. Yes, Jesus is coming again. We've talked about a lot of things tonight. Some very important things that people have a lot of questions. And they just, I don't know. They don't want to hear it. They want to worry about gold. Where are you going to put the gold, silver, go to Sweden? I don't know, whatever. But family, they're not looking at the real picture, what's getting ready to happen. They don't understand. That's why I don't get all excited about, you know, all this financial blithering stuff. I look at a bigger picture. I can't help it. It's the way it is. How do you know that Jesus is coming soon, though? You know by the signs which the Bible gives concerning the time of his coming. It's those signs we're seeing already. I try to cover those in my broadcast. Lord Jesus said that before his coming, there would be wars, earthquakes, famines, pestilence. They're caused, and they blame them on God. They're caused, though, by harp and by supernatural whiz bang, smoke, mirrors, and technology. Then they blame it on God. Like your Pat Robinson, who's a Freemason. He says, God brought this upon. No, he didn't. God allowed it, but then Satan does it through his means of technology or supernatural and blames God on it. So people hate God for doing it. That's tricky. That's clever, complicated, complex. He's still going to hell. But this, you know, people just don't understand. He says that there'll be great wickedness on the earth and many false prophets. Is that not happening? He said the Jews would be again in their land and they would again have control of Jerusalem. They would again have it, right? They don't right now. These aren't real Jews. These are fake Jews. The real Jews are hidden. The real Israelites are hidden. Hebrews. They can't find them. They won't. 144,000. How about that? The occult tries to rehearse the 144,000 witches back 2 years ago in September. Did an invocation. 144,000 witches. They got 144,000 specks of light. They got all this stuff. They try to use that because it's power. Won't do him a darn bit of good. So does everybody know when he's coming back? No, they don't know. Nobody knows. Everybody claims to know. Nobody knows. How come you don't know that you don't know? I know that I don't know. So I can't talk about something I don't know about. Did y'all write that down? Anyway. You know, it can happen any time. Matthew 24:44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man comes. Matthew 24:44. It can take place instantly, the coming of the Lord, for his believers will be a sudden event. That's why Satan, in the times of war, is percolating. You see a lot of UFOs, sightings, right? Yeah, because he wants to explain that rapture up. Yeah, as the wicked was removed. Uh-huh. And only those who are truly saved will be caught up with the Lord. The Bible says that only they that are Christ will be caught up to meet him in the air. How can you be ready? I won't leave you hanging. First, you got to be saved, born again. When he appears in the clouds to take his believers with him, it'll be too late then to get ready. Like the 10 virgins, 10 went to get the wick. When they got back, bridegroom done come and gone with the other 5. You may have your name on a church roll, have a place setting where you're in the pews even. But if you've not been born again, you're going to be left behind when Jesus Christ comes. Freemasons and the churches of deacons, you're going to be left behind until you renounce the blood oath and get out of there. If your wife is born again and you're a Freemason still going to the lodge and not repenting of that sin of taking the blood oath, you're going to be left behind. That's a promise and a guarantee. If you take Jesus Christ as Savior, you're both going to be leaving behind a congregation. Now, the Freemasons won't like you anymore when you renounce the blood oath and you get out of there. They won't like you at all. Might even lose your deaconship. So sad. Be gone. Heaven is a better place anyway. You got to be watching for his return. The Lord Jesus said, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Matthew 24:42. So, you got to ask yourself, do you really want to be ready? Or do you want to depend on the United States to come back? You want to hope that, I don't know, they'll bring the Republic back or something another or whatever they got planned here. Oh, man's going to solve this, or Joel's army is going to defeat the, they're going to arrest all the bankers and they're going to arrest all, you see, I don't get involved in all that nonsense. It's all a play anyway. It's never going to happen. They're going to placate the American public with it. If you've wronged someone, ask them to forgive you. If you've hated or had unforgiveness in your heart toward anyone, go to him and get it right. Whatever God tells you to do, do it. And you know he's going to set divine appointments that you can do that. Or put in your mind to call somebody or trace them down with Facebook or something, whatever, to say, look, I know I did something 15 years ago. I'm sorry for it. He's going to give you the opportunity. You got to be abiding in Christ. Be abiding, number 3. Number 1, be saved. Number 2, be watching. And number 3, you must be abiding in him. And now, little children, abide in him. In 1 John 2:28. Have constant fellowship with him. Not just a Sabbath Sunday. It's 7 days a week. I told you that's what I told you about the first. Are you ready when Jesus comes, when you meet him in the air? Or will you be among the unsaved who's going to meet him as judge at the great white throne? No need for you to be lost. Jesus died for our sins. With no judgment, no need for him to die in the first place. With no judgment, you that unrestrained evil. God knows what he's doing. You say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I'm truly sorry for my sins. I thank you for loving me, dying for my sins. I want to be ready when you come. Please come to my heart right now and be my Savior. Thank you all for coming by tonight. I hope you got something out of it. I believe tonight was an important lesson. It's the bottom line, actually, but, you know, I don't know what to tell people. Everybody's got an agenda or got something going on or something. I don't know what, but they're going to get a shock, let me tell you what. Family, I'm going to close in prayer, and tomorrow, 4 o'clock. Lord, thank you tonight for Bible study. Lord, we call upon you to send that Holy Spirit down and touch the hearts of those that are searching and don't find the way, that, Father, you lead them the right path with divine appointments. We call upon you, Father, to touch our loved ones that, for their minds have become less than, that, Father, you'll bring them back with us. That, Father, we can witness to them to make sure they're saved. Lord, that you give us the opportunity to do that. And give us the opportunity, Lord, to say, I'm sorry to those that we've wronged, or repent of our sins, that, Father, you'll bring us to that point. We call upon you for that, Father, and to give us that discernment and wisdom and to see what's coming according to Scriptures. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, tonight I hope you all got something out of it. And so I guess tomorrow night, 4 o'clock. Let y'all know that we're played up in, highportradio.net, highportradio.net on our irregular basis. We're played up there, Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey. And we're also played, that's John Kirkler at Highport Radio at yahoo.com. Yeah. And also KBLU Radio plays the Samuel Casting at Blue Raven Network. My website, watchmanforjesus.com. I'm still working on it. I've said that before. And just get ready, family. Y'all have a great night. Sleep well. Pray. Get ready. And good night.
And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Good night and God bless.